Caro, sister. Campground, Middle Brighton, Australia. January 12, 1894. Sister Caro, you will be surprised to hear of the success of this meeting. Our brethren made arrangements to provide 50 tents, but these were taken so early in the meeting that orders were given for 25 more, and all these have been pitched and families settled in them. Next came a plea from those interested, not of our faith. The first citizens of Brighton had attended our meetings, and some are convicted of the truth. One gentleman, who has a large music establishment, has begged for a tent, and by crowding our brethren together a little more closely, two tents were vacated. The brother of this music dealer and his wife also wanted a tent on the ground. They had three lady visitors, but finally they all decided to come today and will remain with us over Sabbath and Sunday. We see nothing like the bitterness of opposition we met in Wellington. A deep interest is developing everywhere. People come 20 and 30 miles, bringing their lunch and remaining from morning till night. They say, "Never, never did we hear the Bible made so plain before." We are amazed at what we hear. Strange things are brought to our ears. In the afternoons and evenings throughout the week, our congregations number about 1,000. Later in the day, I have been interrupted in my writing. Dr. Kellogg came to my tent to see if I would have an interview with the president and secretary of the W. We invited them to our tent, and we had a very pleasant visit. The president is a strict vegetarian, not having tasted meat for 4 years. She bears a clear countenance, which does credit to her abstemious habits. The secretary is a young woman. Both are ladies of intelligence. They manifest deep interest in all they have heard. They have made a request that I speak in the beautiful hall in which they hold their meetings, and they asked Brother Starr to write for their temperance paper. The president expressed an earnest desire that we should harmonize in the temperance work. "Be assured," they said, "we shall enter every door open to us, that we may let our light shine to others." They seemed highly gratified in seeing and hearing and being convinced that the fruits of the Spirit are possessed and revealed by this people. I gave each of them a copy of Christian Temperance, to one, The Great Controversy, to the other, Patriarchs and Prophets. Elder Starr has been interrupted again. Some outsiders wish to remain with us overnight if we can accommodate them with lodgings, which we shall certainly arrange to do. The congregations surprise us all. The interest is wonderful. The first class of people are searching for truth as for hidden treasures. All who have come to the meetings seem astonished beyond measure. They are pleased with everything Elder Olson presents before them, and express themselves as well pleased with the words I spoke upon temperance Wednesday afternoon, also on Sunday afternoon, and upon education Thursday afternoon, when the subject of our school was up. Brother Daniels, Brother Rousseau, and Elder Olson gave brief addresses. The large congregation sat listening, apparently with the greatest satisfaction, for 3 hours. Every day new ones are added to the congregation, and we are having the strongest evidence that the convicting power of God is upon those who have been listening for the first time to the third angel's message. A petition has already been sent in for a minister to labor in Brighton and explain the scriptures to the people. They are hungering and thirsting for the bread and water of life. This petition cannot be resisted. We have prayed for the Lord to open the way, and it is being opened for the truth to be given to the people. They promised a good hall and full attendance. Others beg for meetings to be held in their localities. The lady temperance workers ask that instruction in proper cooking may be given them in their hall. They want Sister Starr to act as teacher. Their hall is provided with good facilities, so that after the lecture, a practical illustration can be given of the best methods of healthful cookery. Sister Starr told them she was not qualified to teach. "Well," they said, "tell us all you know." This camp meeting is advertising us as nothing else could. The people say it is a wonder of wonders, this city of clean, white tents. Oh, I am so thankful that the captain of the Lord's host is upon the encampment. The believers are being blessed. Elder Corliss has presented the Word of God in clear lines. Several are just deciding for the truth. That which gives us greatest joy is the outside interest. We hear from many such expressions as these: "This is more than we hoped for." We are surprised every day with the new and precious things that are opened to us from the Word of God. The reception of the Holy Spirit is an invaluable blessing. Our faith is confirmed, our hopes brightened, our belief in the testimony of Scripture made strong. The Lord is working for us all on this encampment. I addressed our ministers today, urging them not to settle down satisfied with what we have received. There has been a surprised, thankful people on these grounds, but faith has not reached high enough. Hope is the outcome of faith, the full persuasion of things unseen. We must believe that we may have the full possession of the great and glorious salvation which is ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I am so sorry that some who might have come are not here, placing themselves in the channel of light. But I am thankful that 440 men, women, and children are encamped here on this ground, besides a number who occupy rented rooms nearby. The number is still increasing. Rich stores from the treasury of God are presented to all, without money and without price. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. I think of church in your place, and I address myself to you as to God's chosen people. Do not place a low estimate upon the value of the soul. Do not turn from the great salvation. Rest not until you have a well-grounded hope, a daily, living experience, growing in grace and the knowledge of the truth. The promises of God are immutable. Our Heavenly Father loves and cares for us. If we are willing and obedient, His word will be fulfilled to us. Faithful is He that promised, who also will do it. The perfect work of Christ, which atoned for our sins, hath brought in everlasting righteousness, and hath made perfect and everlasting peace, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6, verse 19, 20. I might write a volume concerning the work here, but I have not time to enter into particulars. I wish to send this on the morrow, and must not write more, for then I could not get it copied. With much love to Sister Hunt, yourself, and Dr. Caro. The Lord is good. He loves you and is calling for you.